is Hugie. Hello, everybody. And yes, we are back with a Film Talk Roundtable episode. What we did on this one was a couple of years ago. Not a couple of years ago. It was 12 months ago, which is literally a year ago. See, I'm listening. We did an episode about the film releases of 2024. So, of course, now we're doing it back for 2025. It seems to me these days that the go-to thing that everybody just says is, oh, it's woke crap, it's politically correct, it's this, it's that, without ever actually watching or understanding what they're watching. So what I did today was I set up a round table of Kaylee from the Great Once Over with Kaylee, Christian Blatt from Marvel Movie Talk, the Bladcast, who are these broadcasters, and 17 other shows. And of course, Little Lemmy with the very fastly growing YouTube show herself, Strange and Things. So there you go, Lemmy. We had a roundtable talking about the best of 2025 and, of course, the worst of 2025. So it's just if you get annoyed by people being positive, don't worry. The second half is us shitting on everything. So to see that, you need to go to Hugie Entertainment on YouTube. How you could help me is by becoming a YouTube member, or if you don't want to spend money, just subscribe for free, hit the like button, leave a comment, interact with all that stuff that helps all YouTube channels down the line in the algorithm. I'm at the Hugie on Twitter, at the Hugie on Instagram, and yes, I'm going to tell you what that music in the background is. That is the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra doing You Only Live Twice from the album The Essential James Bond. I love Mr. Bond, and I love that type of shit. And I'm sure you love it too, and you're off to buy their albums right now. This is a good length of an episode, I should say. It's not super long. We get right to it. Nice bit of jokes about porno, all types of stuff. We're just going to get right into it. So we're going to say Christian, Lemmy, Kaylee, hello. Hugie stumbled through the door, glassy eyes and wanted more. Whiskey breath that screamed out loud. In the bar, he was the crowd. Stories flying off his tongue. Songs of battles lost and won. Every sip, another tale. In the pub, he'd never fail. Hugie swings and Hugie sways. Shamrock nights and funny days. Raise a glass and cheer it on. Hugie's legend will live long. With everybody sort of getting into Tookie's rant, because apparently he's the first person that's ever complained about the state of the Dabbleverse after I did it first. We're in the dark time, and I hope it ends soon. So this will be a Dabbleverse-less episode. I don't know, but here to correct my grammar is the one and only Kaylee. Kaylee, how are you doing today?
I'm so excited to talk about the Dabbleverse today.
You're breaking my hymen, you little fucking bitch!
And also here to talk about the state of the Dabbleverse isn't the beautiful Christian Blatt. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm here locked, cocked, and ready to dabble, Hughesy.
I got bitches all on my dick and every day.
I forgot to check. Is this mic on?
Yes.
So you can hear when I tap like that?
Yes.
Excellent. Because I wouldn't want any of my bangers getting lost.
No, you know? It's a good time to do that now once the show has started.
Good point, but I was watching a documentary about China, the wrestler. Hit the like button for puns and jokes like that. So just before we get going on with this topic today, there was a controversy going around Twitter that the Clippers have been not only clipping people's shows, but they are now charging memberships and putting clips of people's shows behind the paywall. Kaylee, what do you think about that? Do you think that that's perfectly fine, or do you think that's a little bit dodgy? Hit the like button.
I mean, it can definitely get a little bit dodgy, but in general, I love the Clippers. I think they do the Lord's work, so I am pro Clippers.
Christian, you're from LA. There's literally a sports team there called the Clippers, I assume. I don't know. I also don't care.
I'm impressed that you knew that, Husey. Yes. So I've never, I've almost never been clipped. So I adore the Clippers because I borrow their work. So if the Clippers wanted to clip this, this would be the time to do it. You know, we could maybe get Husey to call Doom an F slur. Say Stalin 19 wears women's panties. You know, I don't know. I mean, we could just start trash talking the Clippers, but I love them. And if they want to charge money, it's fine. I was actually about to come on and say that I've never been clipped. And then I remembered I have been clipped when I talked to Jackie Martling. So I love everybody. I love all the Clippers.
And the thing that makes me laugh, though, I've seen some Clippers argue on Twitter saying, oh, you're just stealing my stuff and passing it off on your own channel. It's like, well, so are you. That's what these Clippers do, is they take your shit and upload it, and then they complain that now other Clippers are re-editing their clips.
Well, isn't that why they put their logo, they like burn it into the corner? So like, I know on Who Are These Broadcasters, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Kaylee was on our most recent episode. Husey's been on before. It will remind me to say, oh yeah, and thanks to Stalin 19, I didn't have to watch 4 hours of, the Steel Toe Morning Show. I didn't have to watch 4 hours of the Stuttering John show. Nice podcast, Stupid, is definitely making an important point there. I love Kaylee's outfit because it's designed for, like, wait a minute, there's no cleavage in this. So you just peel part of it away.
Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of cleavage, there is a poll question about that issue. And so far, it's going in the option of bad. They're making money off others' content, which I should have fit there. So this is not a Dabbleverse show. So if that's a problem for you, goodbye. We're not going to be talking Dabbleverse. It is boring. And if endless conversations about like, can you believe what Chad Zumok did? I'm not going to say who that's an impression of. You can work it out yourself. It's fucking great.
It did sound like a potato. Yeah.
I don't get it, but that's what I'm saying. So this is going to be a film talk today. So if that's not for you, I'll see you later. But there is a mystery guest joining us eventually. I have no idea who it could be. This is an exciting time to be alive. Around this time last year, me, Kaylee, and what's your name again? Hey, Muslim.
Is this Jew? Huh? Is that Jew over there? Huh? Oh, it's Christian. You're the one who set me up for it.
Certainly did. I set you up for a lot of stuff, especially when I put CP on your hard drive.
Just wait till Hackamania 3, April 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas. Promo code Bears if you want Eric Zane to be there. Promo code Kaylee if you want Boobs to be there.
Yeah, because I won't have to put it on your hard drive because you'll be walking around with the CD booklet full of it. Anyway, so what we did around this time last year, we did a best and worst of 2020. Let me see. Yes, 2024's.
Correct.
Just double checking. Film releases, the best and worst. So we're going to do that again. For 2025, we're not going to review the exact same films of 2024, you know, those glory days.
Yeah.
So just before we get started on that one, generally, we'll get Kaylee's opinion on this. What did you think, basically, of the overall year of 2025 cinema-wise?
You know, a lot of people have really been shitting on all the movies of 2025. I think that all overall, they've been really great. But maybe a little bit more mid than other years. It was hard to pick the bests and the worsts because I felt like a lot of things I could have kind of put into either category.
Yeah, and you know, last year the struggle was narrowing down my bottom five, because last year, 2024 was like a renaissance for bad cinema. I mean, you know, Megalopolis alone. Fortunately, we have a hands down, possibly worst film of all time on my list. So that's what we call a tease, Husey. Hit the like button. And so I'm disappointed in awful cinema in 2025 because it wasn't quite as bad. There's a movie that I have on my list that probably made $500 million, but it's still very bad. So.
There's a film that was so bad this year that I specifically booked the special guest just to rant on it. This person will go off. But before we get to that, Dan, thanks for doing. Hi, Lucy. Can you tell us about the time you met Shmuel Buckman?
It was at Hackamania 2. Hackamania 3 is coming up, so yeah. Maybe I'll meet him again. I don't know if he's going or not.
I thought I met him at Hackamania 1, but I think you're right. It was.
Oh, maybe it was 1. I don't know. Yeah. I have anyway. A horrible memory for things like this.
Yeah. You made a real dick out of yourself there, getting that mixed up, Gilly. I hope somebody clips that.
An idiot.
That's going to go.
I'm going to get called a liar. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Can you count much? We're roasting the shit out of her. This is a good episode. Hit the like button for classics. So what I'm going to do is... I'm going to start with my top five because nobody really wants to hear positive shit said. So I'll just say what I watched and you say if you liked it, thought it stank, whatever. At five, I'm going, it's the fifth best of last year, The Long Walk.
That is actually my number five as well.
Oh, what'd you think of that one, Kelly? You're a woman.
I have not seen it. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of movies I haven't seen. I'm going to be honest with you. 2025 has not been a great year for me seeing movies.
I know you didn't even see the new Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I told you about it. I encouraged you to see it, actually, because you knew that one of your... Husey, you knew that one of your least favorite performers was in this film, and I was like, I promise you... He will not ruin the movie for you. In fact, you might be delighted for the way the film may or may not end. Mark Hamill is in this movie, Husey, for our audience. And you saw it anyway, upon my recommendation. So I'm glad that we see eye to eye on this one.
Yeah, I thought I was going to hate it because Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is in it. And I don't know what he has to be happy about. He's a ginger and his dad was a fat closet kiss. But Mark Hamill's in it, and I'm not saying that he's aged badly, but his voice is so messed up in this one that Judy the lawyer just made fun of him.
That's not nice. Judy's Asian, so you'll never hear me say anything bad about her. And Lucy's best friends with her.
Jesus, we're roasting them all. But yeah, it was legitimately good. I don't read books because I ain't got no time for that shit.
I'm not fucking brother.
Gay. I didn't know what was coming. It was very intense and original, and I loved it. And of course, nobody went to see it. At number four, that's right, I can count. I'm going with Eddington or Edgerton or whatever the fuck it was called. There's nothing better than a film about COVID. It was a glorious time. I had a great fucking time. I know you did, and I know you did. I pointed to the same person twice there by mistake. I'm sorry.
Are you generally a fan of Ari Aster?
Huh?
It's the film.
Who directed it?
Yeah. Oh.
Right? Yeah.
He did. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so did you. Obviously. Duh. Yeah. He did Hereditary and Midsummer and then that really long one that I can't think of what it's called.
Beau is Afraid.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I did see Midsummer and it stank. So I like this one, and not to get political, but it's about how the hypocrisy of the right and the left during a crazy time, which I guess isn't happening now in Minnesota, you cuckolds. Did you see Edgerton or Edgerton Keeley?
I did not, but I am really excited about it. I'm generally a huge fan of his, and so that is one that I'm really looking forward to.
And Christian?
I also didn't see it. It's been on my to-see list for a while, but my question to you about Midsommar was, what stunk more, the film or Florence Pugh's box?
Yo! I'd like to find out, but speaking of which...
That's the stickiest pussy I've ever seen!
Hit the like button for Thunderbolts. At number three of the best films of the year, I'm going with Roofman. Channing Tatum, well-known actor.
Oh my god, I saw a trailer for this. I forgot about this movie.
Yeah, it's based on the true story of a guy who broke out of prison and was secretly living in a Toys R Us. Like, he literally was and it's actually hilarious. It's you're really rooting for him and the police at the same time. And it was set back in the day before I realized how out of date I was. So seeing people holding physical media in the film was just making me going, yes, yes, that's what we're talking about. And there's a little somebody in there. I don't know. Ever heard of a guy called Peter Dinklage? I have. That's me and Channing Tatum. So there you go.
You've never looked better.
Huh? Kelly, what did you think of Roofman that you definitely saw?
I didn't even know about this one, yeah. Obviously. Why would I? Why would I know anything?
There you go. Nelly, I can do an exact impression of how Nelly would say this. Roofman, we're bloody awesome. That's how she speaks. Christian, what did you think of Roofman?
Well, like I said, I saw the trailer and I was like, man, I really want to see that. But then I forgot about it until you just mentioned it 2 minutes ago.
Well, good.
I'm sorry, I have to ask this question because I'm confused. Is Nelly D New Girl? Did she change her name to Nelly now? I'm super confused because I thought that was New Girl in the picture.
Well, she is really New Girl.
Yeah, fair enough.
And we can't call her New Girl anymore because...
Zooey Deschanel threatened to sue?
No, all that smoking's getting to her. I'm just saying. Hit the like button for making fun of women online. Speaking of which, at number two, I'm going with One Battle After Another, which is fucking brilliant. There's a guy called Christian Blatt. That's you.
That's right. It is me.
Great banter here. And we did a review of it, which was a good laugh. So I know you've seen it, Christian. What did you think of it, Kelly?
I watched it earlier today and I loved it. That was my homework today. I was either going to watch that or Begonia today to try to prepare for this.
Good choice.
I really, really enjoyed it. It was surprising. It was very different than what I was expecting going in, but I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. And it's basically the true story about how if a woman has a nice arse, it's worth almost starting World War III over. I get it. And Nelly was doxxed by Andy and Joe, so she came out.
Yeah. It seems like something Joe Sixpack would do.
And before I reveal my number one, Dan from Nice Podcast Stupid, thanks for the toe. My rec is Family Pies 2020 with Scarlett Hampton. What did you think of that one, Kelly?
Obviously, that's my favorite. That's actually my number one seed also.
Well, the best thing about Family Pies is the simple fact that they make you think that they're brother and sister, but it's okay because they're stepbrother and stepsister. And obviously, that makes everything all right. So enjoy away, everybody.
Yeah, and allegedly later last year, Scarlett announced that she once filmed a cheesy pizza with her sister. So it's like, thanks very much. Chris Mack says he likes tits more than ass, but I'm not opposed to a nice one. You're this close to getting blocked, Chris.
Well, only because he didn't put money to that. He said it for free. He should have at least given you $2 for that.
Well, he's a member, so that's why he's this close.
Okay.
This is we call them Milkers and Fartbox over here, and this is a pro Fartbox community. Milkers are there, Fartboxes are forever, so you can donate your apology or else. But at number one, my favorite film of last year, and this may ruffle some feathers, a complete unknown.
I'm Jesus surprised Christ. To hear that.
Yeah, that's what it's, here's the thing. I like Bob Dylan, but I ain't know nothing about no Bob Dylan, so I wasn't able to pick it apart like I was the Bohemian Rhapsody in the NWA one.
Right. So, and a film from 2025, the Springsteen movie, Deliver Me from Nowhere. Yeah.
Be Christian, more like Deliver Me from the Cinema. Hit the like button. I love this one. Timothée Chalamet is a great up and great actor. He's young. I just saw Marty Supreme the other day. It was fucking unbelievable. So he's become like the new Leo DiCaprio. That doesn't mean that I'm gay. Hit the like button for being honest. I thought that it was brilliant, and I take it by reaction, Christian, you didn't like it.
No, I did not like that movie. I think I saw it in 2025, so I probably should have put it on my list. But I very casually understand the work of Bob Dylan, but I thought that the I didn't like the characters. I didn't care about what was happening. I think getting to see Johnny Cash in it was like the one part where I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. But I don't know that much about Bob Dylan's backstory, but even I could tell, like, yeah, I don't think this happened this way.
You didn't believe the scene where he invented the iPod?
No, that was actually the only scene that I did believe. Yeah. And diehard Dylan fans will all tell you, people like the great Adam Bush will tell you that he feels like they really missed the mark and did not enjoy it. So if he says it, it must be true.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
I just hope that they could have done, because it was directed by the guy who did Walk the Line. That if they could have had Joaquin Phoenix come back as Johnny Cash,
for that actually would have been pretty great.
Yeah, so we could have went, ah, shit, it's him, and we would have went, no. But he was too busy being raped in the Joker 2. Kaylee, what did you think of A Complete Unknown?
I think this is a perfect example of one of these kind of mid movies of 2025 for me. It's right in the middle. I'm never going to think about that movie ever again. It's basically how I feel about it. It was fine. I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but I'm never going to be like, oh, I want to put that back on.
You don't know what you're talking about, but what you do know what you're talking about is your top five. So Kaylee, what was in there at number five? Hit the like button.
Well, at number five, I have kind of a weird one because honestly, it's not a movie that I liked that much, but it is a movie that I really enjoyed watching and will definitely think about more, even though I can't watch it again. It is Know You're Wrong, written, directed, and starring Crispin Glover, the love of my life, and his father, Bruce Glover, is in it. It's actually their first time working on a movie together, and Bruce Glover passed away this past year, so... they won't ever be able to do that again. It is satirical. It's chaotic. it has a lot of originality, and there's a lot of really interesting and beautiful like miniatures and things like that. I got to go see this actually both with Jeff and Nasty Neil. We all saw this in Boston, and Crispin Glover was there, and it was a really wonderful experience. And even though it isn't the most perfect film of all time, it's really cool to see his movies on the big screen because he doesn't release his movies. So if you don't go see them out in a theater, then you cannot see them. There's no DVDs. There's no nothing. So there is a lot of culture that goes along with it. And this movie manages to skewer culture with opinions and interest, and it's really, really cool. It's great.
Christian, I'm going to assume you didn't see it either.
No, because I was not at that theater. I enjoy Crispin Glover's work, but I love most about him, and I've told Kayleigh this before, is how he successfully sued Universal for hiring somebody that looked just like him for Back to the Future Part 2, and not, you know, and putting him in like a facial mask and all that stuff. So I like when somebody successfully sticks it to the man or woman. Hit the like button.
Yeah, and just to dox this fake account, this fake Jerry.
This is a real Jerry Shepardini.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, imagine being so famous that you could troll Jerry Shepardini accounts. A complete unknown was released here in 2025, where you're supposed to be from, Jerry. So try with the new name and hit the like button on the new account. Kayleigh, what was your number four best?
So again, all of the movies kind of blend together for me. So my like number two, three, four, all those are all kind of in the same area. I am going to go with Mickey 17 for my number four, directed by Bong Joon-ho. I know. You're going to survive. Are you going to be okay?
Does that reaction make you wish you were Mickey 15?
Yes, it does.
I'll do the math later. I was going to do a 69 joke. We'll fix it in post. I refuse to see that because I hate Batman Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I do too. I hate him. I thought he was wonderful in this. It is a weird sci-fi movie about like he basically plays like a disposable worker drone kind of guy. And every single time that something goes wrong, he gets killed and then comes back as another version of himself. It is flawed. It is not a perfect movie. It is absolutely not perfect, but I had really fun. It was a really interesting movie, very unique, lots of philosophy. Sometimes it hits you over the head with it. There's like this one scene where there's like a big crowd of people and it's trying to make a political point and all the people are wearing red hats, like red baseball caps. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to hit me over the head with the fucking Trump reference. Like I get it.
I thought you meant they were all St. Louis Cardinals fans. So thank you.
Obviously that is what I meant. Actually, that's probably went over my head. I'm probably just a dumb woman who didn't understand. Toni Collette was amazing in it. Mark Ruffalo was amazing in it. I agree that usually I hate Robert Pattinson, but he did an excellent job. I just wish that it wasn't so slap me in the face with certain points, but other than that, I really enjoyed it. And the book Mickey 7 that it's based on, the guy who wrote that is actually from Rochester.
So that's cool. Really?
That is where we live.
So can you Christian, put can you put Goody Two Shoes comment back up, because I thought that was important. It made me laugh out loud. The one at the top of the screen, at least I think that's where it is. Talk about one of Scarlett's movies. Tinker with My Stinker 4 has a pretty good plot. And I don't know what's funnier, if that's a real movie or if Goody Two Shoes came up with that. So I'm still laughing about it. So.
Well, the one thing about the porn industry you can lean on is that they are franchise heavy. Like they don't worry about the artistic values of sequels. Like if you type the word 9 into a porn search engine, and I'm sure you'll have a good time. Kayleigh, what did you get in there at number three?
Number three, I'm going to go with Weapons. Mysterious horror. I really enjoyed the idea.
Mysterious horror is also one of Scarlett's films. Hit the like button.
Not so mysterious, I don't think. I've seen quite a bit. 17 school children go missing and we have to unravel the investigation of what's happening. I like that we have a very haunting atmosphere in this one. I like that there's a question of the narrator being reliable. I like that it has like different threads and we kind of like move through different sequences, which is another one of my movies also has that. Each storyline is really interesting and it kind of questions blame. I will say, though, that, again, not a perfect movie. Definitely not. It is just, it's like halfway there. I wasn't a huge fan of the ending. I think a lot of people.
I was going to say, it does go off the rails a little bit towards the end. It's not on one of my lists. Sorry, go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry. I thought you.
I was just going to say, it's very, very bold and very tense. And those are things that I really enjoy in film.
What I liked about it is that I kept it kept me guessing just when I started to think, like, yes. Oh, I think I know what's happening. And just to remind everybody that I do live in the middle of show business. Remember, there's 18 kids in the class and only 17 disappear. The one kid who doesn't disappear is my son's friend. So I was very excited to see him in that movie. And I also told my son, you can't see that movie. Probably not for like 10 years. So
that's so cool.
So that means that, so spoiler alert warning for anyone that hasn't seen Weapons. It's very good. But if they want to mute for a second, there's a part in the film where Thanos, real name Josh Brolin. He dreams about a house, and then a big gun fucking appears over it. How?
The dream?
Yeah, but what happened? Like, how did he have this dream?
I don't know.
I suspend my disbelief for everything like that question.
By the way, you mentioned that Thanos is in this movie. The female Silver Surfer is all in this. Wong from Doctor Strange and young Han Solo. They're all in this movie. So that's the reason people should see it.
That's exactly how I did describe films these days. Yeah, I loved Weapons, but that one plot hole harmed it a little bit.
Crazy.
Was something that, a different reason. what was in your number two best? Hit the like button.
I am going with Life of Chuck for my number two best. This movie I'll ask you guys if you saw it. It's tender and sweet, and I really enjoy it because we are looking at a story through three different parts, and it unfolds backwards. I like a lot of the time when we kind of mess with the actual narrative of a film. I think that's always really interesting. It's a very intimate film. It's very... it's like bringing the cosmos into like memory and thinking and how we connect with human emotion. And usually I like films like this, but I don't like love them. I loved this movie. The music was interesting. Everything about it was interesting. Brilliant, brilliant storytelling.
You asked me if I seen a touching tender film. No, because I'm tough. Kristen, did you see it?
So I didn't see it, but I did see a very intimate film called Blacks on Blondes, starring Scarlett Hampton. I also saw Brother Lovers Welcomes by Scarlett Hampton. So I saw both of those. So people might want to check those out. Hit the like.
They both sound loving and tender.
Very tender. Well, loving. In their own way, sure.
Yeah, something is tender by the end of it, if you know what I'm saying. And Kelly, what have you got in there at number one as the best of the year?
At number one, I put down one of the shortest feature length movies of the year. I think it's only 75 minutes long. Good Boy. I loved Good Boy. Again, supernatural horror thriller following the best good boy dog in the whole world, Indy, played by the real life dog Indy, who is owned by the director. He has to confront on these like unseen forces in order to protect his human family. And it is, wow, it is a tightrope. Like, I feel like that entire movie, I am watching horror, social commentary, absurdness. It left me feeling shocked and entertained, and it was absolutely wonderful. There are all these like amazing POV shots. Also, the scares even felt heartfelt somehow. It was amazing.
Well, I don't have any fear. Kristen, did you see this one?
No, I didn't see Good Boy, but I did see Scarlett Hampton and Bad Girl. So, you know, I feel like the plot's probably very similar.
Yeah, she had a... Yeah, I seen her in a film where she had sex with a dog.
Allegedly.
No. Hit the like button. Christian, what have you got in at the fifth best of the year?
Well, because we already talked about The Long Walk, I'm going to slap my number six in there. That's right. I'm mixing it up. I'm going to say Thunderbolts, which is hardly fine cinema. We had three Marvel movies this year, and it was far and away the one I enjoyed the most. I thought that the ensemble cast was good, and I was not expecting the spoiler alert, the villain to be our own mental health and how to overcome and have people support us. And then maybe that's the real villain. But I don't know. It was fun. The characters meshed far better than they did in Fantastic Four. And the less said about Captain America Brave New World, the better. So,
Northern Ireland, G saw one, thanks for the toe. Double-ended tabber in Keeley's crapper was good. That was pretty good.
That's coming soon. That's actually a 2026 film.
Double-ended tabber in Keeley's crapper was good. I'd like to see some AI posters of that, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I've already pre-ordered my tickets for that one, Keeley.
I would like to point out that this tabber dildo that I received, the double-headed tabber dildo, I thought that it was both tabber, and one was like happy and one was sad. But really, it's tabber and susser, so I get to get fucked by both of John's attorneys.
Clip it.
I know. I'm gonna. It will be on Patreon.
Jesus Christ. Christian, what have you getting in there at number four?
Well, this is at the top of some people's lists, but Husie, I suspect it's on another list of yours. Sinners. It is on my top five, so it is my number four because there is a white woman in it. So I think it was okay for me to enjoy the movie.
Well, as you can see here, my, what do you call it, headline?
Yes.
Gives you my review of that.
Yes. No, I know. I know how you feel about it. I talked to you about it. It was one of those movies that I didn't know that much about it. And I thought that, you know, it, to keep my cred with Husie, obviously, I think Hailee Steinfeld was the best actor in the film. So I hope that that helps the fact that it was, you know, the white broad. But I don't know. I found it was an interesting, because it's one movie right up until it turns into a different movie. And there's some types out there. And by that, I mean vampires. Spoiler alert. So I just thought that, you know, it was a big production, big period piece. And I found the performances, both of Michael B. Jordan's performances, I thought were good.
Big period piece is also Scarlett Hampton production. Hit the like button. Yeah. Yeah. It made a big splash when it opened.
Nobody saw that one.
Are we? Yeah, no, nobody wanted to see that one. Is that going to come up on your list? Or no spoilers, I guess. My number three is one that I know Husie saw. Which is Warfare. It's a movie that a lot of people didn't see. Mm-hmm. It was based on a real life incident in Iraq in 2006. If you love the hilarity of Black Hawk Down, you're gonna definitely have a laugh a minute, I think, with Warfare. But largely unknown cast is what I thought, and I found that to be really compelling, and I enjoyed it very much so.
Yeah, Warfare is brilliant and super intense. And of course, they put it out in the summer instead of at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So Sinners gets all the Oscar buzz because the director is black. That's the only reason. And Warfare just gets completely looked over despite the fact that it's brilliant. It's a shame. I thought that Sinners was one of the most generic, lazy releases ever. It was From Dusk Till Dawn with more black people.
Christian, I cannot believe that you think that Michael B. Jordan's performance as the two twin brothers was good. It was indistinguishable who was who. There are so many actors who have given us an amazing, amazing take on doing like the twin thing, like Jeremy Irons and
Lindsay Lohan.
Obviously, that was my second thing that I was going to say.
Johnny DeVito.
I can tell who's who with all of those actors. The entire time I was like, is that Smoke and that Stack? Is that Stack? Like it was so annoying. Them being in different outfits was the only thing that kept it at all. I hated that movie. Also.
One of them wore a hat. I don't know what you're saying, Kaylee. I feel like, you know what? Was it just too smart for you that one of them was wearing a hat?
Yeah, that was too smart for me. This movie, it promised us grittiness, but it was just cliche after cliche after cliche.
Would you like to read this one, Scarlett?
The one pun, Black Hawk Down, another Scarlet movie. Yeah, that one was actually good. Just expect the Oscars are in a couple months. Just expect to hear a lot more about Sinners. I'm just trying to be ahead of the curve. I'd like to work again one day. So I loved it. You know, it was number four or whatever.
Sinners with the hard ER. Yes. What was your number three best?
A film called Caught Stealing that I didn't expect much from.
Oh, yeah.
With Elvis is in it. Not the real Elvis. I just thought that the cast was pretty great. His name's Austin. I'm blanking on the actor's name now, but he's great.
Austin and, Butler.
Yeah, that's it. Austin Butler. So I thought that he was great. I'd never really seen him as a lead in something before because I didn't see that Elvis movie.
Elvis in it.
Yeah. Spoiler. I thought he was Colonel Tom. And I loved Vincent D'Onofrio as one of the ethnics in that film. And I thought that I don't know. I expected almost nothing. Matt Smith takes a baseball bat to the head. Who doesn't want to see that? I mean, which actor who played Doctor Who would you not want to see take a baseball bat to the head? Hit the like button.
True. And who did he play in that show?
Doctor Who?
I don't know. You have to tell me the name.
He was the doctor. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what was his name?
Well, it depends on how much of a nerd you ask. It's either the doctor or Doctor Who.
Yeah, we have to tell me the name of the doctor, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to keep playing this game.
Yeah.
It hurts too much.
Hit the like button. You know, I loved being caught stealing, and of course, it was not a franchise. It wasn't an action film. It was the type of old school stuff that people complain that they don't make anymore, and nobody went to see it.
It was also set in the late 80s in New York City, so it felt a little bit like home. I thought that attention to detail, completely unnecessarily. There was no reason it had to be set then, but I enjoyed that aspect of it too.
And it's funny that you mentioned Austin Butler and Michael B. Jordan, because they are starring in the new Miami Vice that's coming out in a couple of years' time.
Why would they do that when we already got the perfect Miami Vice with Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell?
Because this one is coming from the director of Brad Pitt's F1, and I got to be honest, right at the minute I couldn't give one F. Hit the like button. Christian, do you have in there for your number one best?
Yeah, it came up earlier on your list, but another very likely Oscar contender, One Battle After Another, which if you want details on my thoughts, go check out episode number 660, I think, of The Black Cast. If you want to know Husey's opinion, you'll have to just ask him, because Husey was so drunk on that you messaged me the morning after and said, yeah, I had to just watch the podcast because I didn't remember recording it at all. So that, and Liam, who was on there, said like, oh, you should probably take that down. And yet it's probably my favorite episode we've ever done. So hit the like button over at the Blackcast, BLADTCASD.
There you go. I think this was the one pun I prefer, Miami Spice 2, unintentionally hilarious, but that could have been a Scarlett Hampton. I
believe so. One.
Yeah. She's in a different type of vice. So that's all.
That's my number one battle after another. Yeah, yeah.
So that's all the positivity done. Now it's time to talk about the shit that we hated. So that mystery guest needs to get ready, because this person will be online on the air soon. I'll start off. If the fifth worst film I saw this year was Jason Statham's A Working Man.
That's my number three.
Yeah, this was unbelievably shit. Like, I'm a Jason Statham apologist, but it was just the only thing that made this different to any other Jason Statham film is that in the opening scene he wore a hard hat. Therefore, that's proof that this is a working man, because he was at work when the film started. Then, you're not going to believe this, Killy. The rest of the film, he's going into nightclubs and beating up gangs and meeting women and getting revenge and helping people who have been taken prisoner and yada, yada, yada. It was fucking...
You're making this sound pretty cool.
I mean, he's very cool in it. And by the way, I'm enough of a Jason Statham apologist is that I would like them to make at least two more Crank movies. I would have no problem with that. And you can even put Amy Smart in both of them. I don't care about that. The thing about this movie that I didn't do any research to this effect, but the storyline of it is so similar to the last Rambo movie that I feel like this is actually just an earlier draft of that Rambo movie. And then they put Jason Statham in it. Because it's like, oh, this is how that Rambo movie should have gone. Because spoiler alert in a movie from like 6 years ago, he's looking for a young girl who's been trafficked, but finds out that she's dead. And that's the end of that movie. But at least in this one, she'd only been whored out a little. She hadn't gone full Hampton at this point.
You know? Oh,
what?
Hit the like button.
See, this is what I always say. Like every year when I go and I see the latest Michael Bay Transformers movie, I'm always like, should I even say that this is a bad movie? Because it's a Jason Statham movie. So is it on me for going? Or can I objectively say, Kaylee, I'm sure you haven't seen this movie. So in this hypothetical, is it okay that you go and see a movie that shouldn't be very good and you watch it and you go, yeah, this wasn't very good? Are we allowed to point out that it's not good?
I always like it when men lower their expectations for me. So, yes, I think that that's perfectly acceptable.
Okay. Well, that's people can get that at Hackamania 3 in Las Vegas. Yes.
I'll lower my expectations for them at Hackamania.
Promo code Bears.
Well, speaking of the number four worst, early last year over the summer, woke up to the tragic news that the great Ski Mask had passed away, the great Kevin Shackler, I think his name is, or whatever the fuck. I don't know. So the next day I was off work. I was going to see everybody's favorite band, Madness, playing at the Ormo Park in Belfast.
One step beyond?
More than one. Am I right? So I don't get it. So I had the full day off and I knew there was going to be a lot of traffic. So I says, right, well, watch in the cinema. I'm going to spend the day at the cinema. I went to see the new Karate Kid just because it was okay. But what I went to see afterwards was unbelievable, a soul-crushing letdown of 28 years later.
Oh,
yeah. The thing that made this so bad is that I had been looking forward to it for so long, like decades.
Some would say you've been looking forward to it for 28 years. Hit the like button.
Hey, I'd rather have had 28 beers later. No, but seriously, I do have a problem that flares up every once in a while. But I thought that 28 years later, the biggest problem was how generic it was. Like, I've seen this film a million times before. I fucking hated it. Kaylee, did you see 28 years later?
I did not. I was planning on running out to the theaters to see it immediately. And then I heard so much bad stuff. And I, like you, had been anticipating this one. I was so excited for it. So I'm still putting off watching it. I'm going to watch it a few years from now, probably, finally. Well, I have low expectations.
The follow-up, The Bone Temple, is in theaters, I believe, this week. And I will be going to see it. This didn't make either of my lists, but I remember that I liked this more than you did. And I think I like this concept. So, if it didn't make my list, it probably wasn't one of the five best. But it's also not one of the five worst. Okay, Kaylee. You see it one day. It's fine.
But speaking of which, there's a Scarlett Hampton film coming out called The Bone Temple 28. So she will be getting fucked in that one by Cox.
He's a regular?
On all fours, on the regular. Anyway, she wants it. Whatever the director, who she also calls Daddy. It's uncomfortable stuff. But anyway, more about that at Christmas time. At number three, we're going with the usual streaming shit, The Electric State. This film cost $340 million to make. It's made by the Russos who did the Avengers films, all this types of crap. I was blown away at how bad this was. What do you call her? Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, you're a big fan of her work, aren't you?
She's the fucking... when she was in Stranger Things, I thought, wow, she's playing this sort of special needs kid really well. I can't believe a child actor was playing this. A decade later, it's the same acting skill and wasn't even in Stranger Things anymore. It's like, oh, she's just an ugly woman who is a terrible actor who has conned so many people into consistently hiring her. This is why I'm not looking forward to Avengers Doomsday, because the Russo brothers fucking stink. Everything they've done outside of Marvel is crap.
Well, I think the only reason we have them doing Endgame is the end result of the Doomsday is because of this project, because you have to kind of go back with your tail between your legs before you end up in director jail, which John McTiernan has been in director jail for like 30 years now. So you don't want to end up over there. So I'm excited, but I never saw this movie because I heard how bad it was. I think from
I heard horrible things. Yeah. I have not heard a single person who has seen it that enjoyed it.
It's the definite, it's the perfect example of what makes Netflix so bad. So neither of you have seen that, but who has seen my number two release? We're going to get the special guest on backstage. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's Lemmy.
Oh my gosh, that is a special guest. I'm so glad to see Lemmy.
Guys, I heard we were talking about the Dabbleverse.
Yes.
That's all we've been talking about, actually.
Well, we're going to give you a visual clue here of what the number two worst film is. This is actual photograph. Happy Gilmore 2.
Actual photograph. It's perfect.
That's really her. She was so pissed
off.
Real
photograph. Yes.
I don't know where that was taken. Lemmy, talk to me about Happy Gilmore 2. What was it? Did you hate about it so much?
Happy Gilmore 2 was a personal cinematic devastation for me. Happy Gilmore was my first actual adult, like real comedy, and I loved it so much. It was a family favorite. We watched it multiple times. Wildly quotable throughout every grade of school I was in. You know what I mean? Everybody loved that movie. And I was apprehensive to see Happy Gilmore 2 because I was like, you can't top one. It was kind of like perfect as is, you know? And I got to the graveyard scene before I actually felt physical rage.
Yeah.
Well, for people who haven't seen it, let me
describe this movie.
How far into the film was the graveyard scene?
I don't even recall.
It was pretty early. Is
was it? Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
And not only this, Happy Gilmore 2 cost $158 million.
Like, well, at least they spent it in the right places, Husey.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The problem was that they hired sepia directors to... Here, Adam Sandler's daughter is in this. They filmed it when she was 15 years old. So there's a scene where she's like working out and in yoga pants and stuff. By the way, Jerry says a big Lemmy fan, Hughie sucks. Look at this, the $2 from Jerry Shepardini in Glasgow, Scotland. What a waste of fucking time. My God, what a wanker. So they had a 15-year-old girl being sexualized. It was Adam Sandler was the producer, so he seen the final cut. You've got what's the guy called? Shooter McGavin.
Sure.
One of the most hilarious villains ever. So somebody says, okay, make him the good guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Yeah. It's all these dumb felt
recycled and stupid. I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Ben Stiller comes back. He's like, what? Yeah, like it was. And you can just tell that everyone was just sitting there sort of laughing their arses off thinking, we're getting paid for this?
That is one of those movies where you look at it and you go like, oh, I bet they had a lot of fun making it. You can really, you kind of feel that on the screen. They had fun.
I feel like that would be selfish. I don't even care if that's what they did. That's an incredibly selfish thing to do for such an absolute cult classic. I am actually feeling physical rage again. I'm feeling physical.
Yeah.
So if this was Grown Ups 3, you wouldn't be that upset because what they did.
No, I hated Grown Ups.
Yeah, but they ruined a great film. That can you even watch Happy Gilmore 1 again, Lemmy? Or did they?
No, I haven't tried, to be perfectly honest with you. I've quoted Happy Gilmore 1 and then immediately just went, oh man.
Yeah. You're like, I don't even care if shampoo is better. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah.
Well, that's Billy Madison. So
yeah, whatever.
Tell
me it's a different fucking movie.
It's the ones about golf, and the other ones about Norm MacDonald. Hey, who would you rather have sex with, Meg Ryan or Jack Nicholson? And honestly, Jack. But the thing about Happy Gilmore 2, it's just the worst thing about it is that it just wasn't funny. And Adam Sandler has this aversion to being on screen with women of his own age. So because the woman from Modern Julie Family, Julie Bowen, because she is his age now, they were like, hey, well, what about if we kill her off? So his wife was murdered by Happy Gilmore, and that's just sort of left out there. Like, you know, they show you killing your wife in the opening of the film, and it's like, yeah, but doesn't my daughter has a nice ass for a 15-year-old, doesn't she? And you go, okay, investigate him. Check out his hard drive. Hit his like button. Kaylee, I take it you loved Happy Gilmore and you don't agree with Lemmy's take?
I hated Happy Gilmore 2 so much. It is also on my top 5 list. It is horrible. It almost felt like a studio mandated obligation, not even like they were having fun behind the scenes. Like it never felt like this was something that, and I would have wanted this. I actually like way too late sequels and comebacks. And, you know, like I like the idea of like bringing back something that we loved. Sometimes, obviously, it doesn't work all the time. It really does not work with Happy Gilmore 2.
You know, it's funny you say that. The Comebacks is a Scarlett Hampton film just went into production.
Yes.
You like that one, Lemmy?
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Hit the like button for perversions. But it's just this Happy Gilmore 2 tricks you into thinking that it's good because it's got that, he always has those great 70s soundtracks where he's like, oh, I love this song. And then he drops in a few sort of obscure classics and you're seeing all these people that you remember. And then you just, you know what made it even worse was the fact that Adam Sandler has a beard in it because he doesn't want you to see that his face has changed shape. So he's like, oh no, I just randomly have a beard now. And that's why it's shocking to see what's happened with Adam Sandler. And best of all, they apparently begin filming Grown Ups 3 in February. So that'll probably cost $400 million. And Colin Quinn will fucking be in it. And it'll just be full of absolute garbage. And his daughters will fucking bend over and he'll have sex with them or whatever.
Do you think at any point Rob Schneider will have some words of confidence for whatever Adam Sandler's character's name is in that film?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think
what if he's walking past the synagogue and he goes, you can do it! And then everyone hits the like button.
I think that was the theme of Kaylee's bat mitzvah.
It was. Yeah.
Thanks for playing along.
So, Lemmy, anything else you would like to say about Happy Gilmore 2?
Not particularly Happy Gilmore 2, but in my opinion, the last good thing Adam Sandler ever made, and this is speaking as somebody who's been obsessed with Adam Sandler since I watched Happy Gilmore. Okay, I like exhausted the catalog. The last good thing that he's made was That's My Boy. I fucking loved that movie. That's the last good thing that he's ever fucking made. And I have completely given up my fandom of Adam Sandler. He can go fuck himself. I don't even give a fuck about Grown Ups 3. I don't give a fuck.
You know, Lemmy, I think it's funny you say that. I love That's My Boy. But I think that broke Adam Sandler. Because he, I don't know if he wrote that. But it was his last sort of like adult comedy and nobody went to see it. So I think he just said, fuck you all. Not trying ever again. I'm just going to do these. Although I did like Huey Halloween or Hubie Halloween.
Hubie Halloween, the fuck. Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
What? I mean, well, because it was less bad than the other ones. By the way, I looked it up. He did not write That's My Boy. He produced
Well, that's a shit. Yeah. At number one, even worse than that, if Lemmy wants to stick around, was Havoc, the Tom Hardy action film that was weirdly, they filmed it during the pandemic, but for some reason didn't release it for another 4 or 5 years. It's embarrassingly shit. It starts off with the computer-generated car chase that was so poorly done that I thought it was a company title logo. And then I realized, Jesus, this is going on for a really long time to promote Blatt Productions. And then and it was like, no, this is actually the film. And Tom Hardy, it's set in Canada, but Tom Hardy can only do one accent, and it's the Brooklyn accent. And it was so shit, and it's a perfect example of how boring action films can be. Did you see that one, Kelly?
No, and I heard about it, and then it went in one ear, out the other. So I'm glad that I didn't waste my time watching it.
Christian?
I did not see that one. I have something on my at the top of my list that will have some of the similar qualities to that. But I don't even know that I heard about that one. Maybe you've mentioned it in the past, but no.
And Lemmy, I take it you didn't see that one?
I did not. And I'm going to pop off and I'm going to go hang out in the chat.
Excellent. You hit the like button? Lemmy.
Yeah, I absolutely did.
Hi, Lemmy. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I think Lemmy's favorite film of 2025 was Hands on Substitute, starring Scarlett Hampton.
Yeah.
Yep. I've watched it several times. I watch it every night before I go to bed.
So it's your whole top five, yeah.
Top five. All right, bye.
Kaylee, what is your top, bottom five?
This is another, again, it was challenging to actually order these because I disliked so very many of them so much. We have already talked about a couple of them. So at number five, for sure, Sinners. I hated Sinners so much. It was awful. We've already talked about why I hated it, but
just remember, everybody, I'm the only one on this stream that isn't racist. Go ahead.
That's exactly how we want to feel. I did like Cornbread though. Cornbread was a fun character. Other than that, it just was. I hated it. I also saw it in one of the real, theaters with the, what are they called? D-box chairs. Where the movie.
Oh, you're thinking of a Scarlett Hampton movie. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. But I heard they renamed it to the N-Box for Sinners.
That might have been better, actually. But the only time, there's no action in that movie, which I didn't know going into it. So the only time that the chair would move around was when they were driving, and then the chair would just go, and it was really, really dumb. So don't see that in that experience. In addition to that, I, of course, have Happy Gilmore 2 on my list. Awful. Recycled garbage, should be nostalgic and fun, and was not at all.
Yeah, hated it. It's fucking unbelievably shit.
It's so shitty.
Yeah. And that's what's your number one, or was that?
Well, that's only five and four. That's only two.
I got three more suckers to go here. Yeah. The next one is one that I talked about with Christian Blatt, I believe. The Phoenician Scheme?
Yeah, we did. The Phoenician Scheme didn't quite make my list, but it's a Wes Anderson movie. And it was so not good, but not also his not the worst ever. So I was like, oh, let's talk about the Phoenician Scheme, but then also about Wes Anderson movies that we actually do like. Because I don't know, I had the idea that we'll talk about this movie for an hour. And it would not have been easy to do. Yeah. It was very Wes Anderson, paint by numbers, right? You felt like it was little snippets of earlier movies in some way.
It felt underwritten. It felt like it was there was no charisma in it whatsoever. The only scheme that I felt like happened in that movie was tricking me into thinking that I might enjoy this film. I hated it so much. Husey, have you seen that one?
No, but I actually just it was on TV, so I have it recorded to watch it at some point. But the thing is, I feel like I've seen everything he has because everything's people weirdly stand in it's like his style has become hacky now.
Yeah, he's become a caricature of himself. You know, that's when we stop liking, like, that's why The Simpsons went so downhill, is when you start to acknowledge these are Homer's tropes. These are, you know, that's a lot of what we get tired of. And Wes Anderson is absolutely a caricature of himself. And I hated it. It's most hard to, like, merge history, conspiracy, and comedy. And it resulted in none of those things succeeding. It felt like a bargain bin ripoff of a Wes Anderson movie.
He's mostly on a downward trend, except I didn't hate Asteroid City, as I said at the time. That one was at least okay. I thought it mostly worked, but you know, every once in a while there's a little blip, but he is definitely heading down the turlet, as the fancy people would say.
Next up, I have Running Man. I hated this movie. I watched it for Trucker Andy so that we could talk about it on our All Apologies podcast. He did an entire series of Edgar Wright films. And I hated this movie. I actively hate it. We all went out in like a big group to go watch it. So it was like me, Carl, Trucker Andy, Jenny Jingles, producer Chris. Everybody was there. It was great to hang out with all of them. Watching the movie was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. It had none of the campy charm that the original has. It felt drab. The action scenes felt limp. The plot was nothing exciting. I can't imagine a remake that manages to be this much less thrilling than the original. And yeah, also less coherent.
Yeah, totally with you. It was just the most dude bro-y shit. Like, the guy was sitting there, I'm starting to get really pissed off. It's like, but you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So why would you say, oh God, I'm going to go mental? It's like, then do it. And why did he keep walking and putting his hood on and taking his hood off? It's like, what are you doing?
Well, sometimes you're doing things just because you know that they're going to end up in the trailer. You know, it's like you want him to take off the hood and then put it back on. This didn't make either of my lists, but I did not hate this movie. I was just like, oh, it was entertaining, popcorn, dude bro, action fun. And also I saw it on the IMAX screen and I didn't have to sit next to Carl Hamburger. So obviously that's why I was able to have fun. Hit the like button.
Exactly. But
although I would have loved to have been there with producer Chris and Jenny Jingles and Kaylee.
But yeah, the rest of the people, of course.
Yeah, Andy too. Yeah.
The Running Man was such a bomb that they're saying it's harmed Glenn Powell's career already to the point that he has some film coming out that they've changed the whole marketing campaign where it was supposed to be about him. Now it's about the cast.
Well, it's crazy because he's actually the best part of the movie, I think. Like, he actually didn't do horrible. That's just how bad the movie is, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucking hated The Running Man.
All right, my number one. This is a movie that I turned off because I hated it so much. And it opens with a naked Margaret Qualley. I can never say her name.
Oh.
So I was expecting to really enjoy it. Because she's gorgeous.
Yes.
Honey, Don't, directed by Ethan Coen. I hated this movie so much. I watched like the first 20 minutes, could not make it any further. Finally forced myself to go back and start watching it again. Never ended up liking it. It's like a musical crime comedy about con artists, and it should be fun. It's like a very fun concept, but instead it has like no tonal consistency. Very boring jokes. The humor sucks. It is, I hated it. It felt like misfires every step of the way.
What about implied lesbian sex that you never actually get to see? It wasn't that great, Kaylee?
Very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. The stacked cast cannot even save this movie. Like, I like everybody who's in this movie for the most part. It felt like the tonal shifts felt like I was getting like whiplash. Like, again, it would be like musical, crime caper, teen drama, parody. And then because it was trying to do all of these different things, it never succeeded at a single one of them. Also, the songs in this movie can suck a dick. They are all catchy and I hate them all. And I hate them so much. I hate them. It tried too hard to be edgy.
Well, you know, I was not able to turn the film off after 20 minutes because I went to see it in the theater. I also wasn't going to be able to jerk off during it, but since they never showed us the lesbian sex, I never even went for my belt once. So yeah, this doesn't actually make my bottom five, but it was just a colossal disappointment. I expected, I'm like, oh, this looks like it would be good, right? But it's not.
It felt like it was a smug self-awareness that was completely unbearable for the entire film. It reminded me actually a lot of, what is it called? The Life of Beverly Loughlin. Do you remember that movie that came out a few years ago? It's the same director that did Greasy Strangler. It feels almost exactly the same.
You sure that's not a Scarlett Hampton movie?
It's also a Scarlett Hampton movie.
But no, I haven't heard of any of these ones, but to be avoided.
Yeah.
Not honey, watch, don't. Honey, don't.
Honey, don't watch it is what I'm trying to say to you. Go ahead and hit the like button again, even if you just hit it.
This guy's crazy. Christian, what have you got in there for your top five worst?
It's a movie that I shouldn't have seen, but my wife wanted to see it, and I let her pick a movie once a year, and she didn't choose well. This is a film called The Materialists, which maybe most of you don't know, but don't worry. It's one of many movies with Pedro Pascal this year, and Chris Evans was also in it, but unfortunately, so was Dakota Johnson, whom I have described as just watching a bunch of scenes with a bag of wet laundry sit there, because she has no range, no inflection, no emotions. She's very perfect for this kind of character. Unfortunately, it's a character that you could probably put you to sleep, and I wish somebody had. It's a Dakota Johnson movie, so there was no way that I could see it. And there's like a twist in it that's not that interesting. She like runs like a dating app, and there's a storyline about she's a matchmaker, so it's an app for matchmaking. And she like matches up a couple where the guy rapes the girl. And doesn't that sound like the romantic comedy with it's that level of, I don't care if I've spoiled that movie for anybody. I'm trying to say, do not, under any circumstances, see this film. Unless your wife makes you go see it. Hit the like button.
I haven't seen that, but based on the cast, I'll never watch it.
Yeah. But I mean, I would see other movies with Pedro Pascal and Chris Evans, like Avengers Doomsday in theaters December 18th.
I saw the trailer for that, and oh my God, it looked horrible. So I'm sorry that you suffered through that.
Yeah, there's a movie my wife did want to see that we didn't get to, with Elizabeth Olsen, and she like dies and she has to choose like both of her dead husbands. And that one like looked great. I think it's called Eternity. But no, we didn't get to see that. We made time for Dakota Johnson, though. Anyway, number four is one of those like, oh, I should have known this movie wouldn't be very good. It's called The Monkey. Did anybody else see The Monkey? It's like it's another Stephen King movie. Not a great.
Is this Sinners?
No.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means, Husey. I don't get that joke. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old niece, I like turned my back for a little while I was watching her, and she put The Monkey on, and then she just kept wanting to watch it. And I was like, you're a crazy child. I don't know what the heck is wrong with you. But
she also like Cannibal Corpse, like 9-year-old Kaylee.
No, she does not have good taste in music. I have to listen to a lot of Taylor Swift these days.
Yeah, that's a shame. It's a monkey's paw story, and how you just can't get rid of it, and bad things and death keep happening. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so beyond disbelief, even for a genre horror movie based on a Stephen King story, that it had to make my list. So So I feel pretty strongly about that. We already talked about A Working Man. We already talked about Happy Gilmore 2, so I already switched one of those out. So my number two movie is a movie that is incredibly successful and made a ton of money.
Sinners.
It's called Wicked for Good. And here's a hot take. I didn't hate the first Wicked. I didn't think it was amazing, but I think that seeing it as a Broadway show is much better than seeing it as 5 hours worth of movie. I don't want to be, a cuck for the theater, But that was at least watchable. And the first one, you're like, all right, this second one, I don't know what they were trying to do. And it's uncomfortable to watch Ariana Grande at this point because she's so frail. And you can see that the costumes they made for her, because they shot the movies back to back, which is also a Scarlett Hampton movie. Hit the like button back to back. So she gets so thin as production goes along. They have to like add fabric to some of her costumes because it's just nothing fits her appropriately anymore. So that's distracting. And I don't know. I just didn't. There's a whole animal storyline that is not a Scarlett Hampton animal storyline. Do not hit the like button. And yeah, I just cannot believe that. Like the first one was all right. It wouldn't have made my top five list last year, and I'm sure it didn't. But this is just like so bad, and you have like all these resources and so much money. That's why I was shocked at how how bad
did you
it was.
See it?
And no, I haven't seen either of them because it's just, I don't like
you're not gay.
I didn't say that.
My wife picked this one too.
Yeah.
You did not preface the story with your wife dragged you to that movie. Neither Husey nor I have seen that, Christian. I just want you to sit with that information for a moment.
Well, my wife might drag you to see something okay. April 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas.
But what was it that made it so bad? Because I've heard that this one was particularly hated by people.
Yeah, it's so there's like a. Well, there's like a love story between the Wicked Witch, Cynthia Erivo, and some dude who I didn't know who he was, but they don't like fully commit to it. And there's like, you know, this wasn't like a Mystery Science Theater where people went to see this movie and make jokes and be inappropriate. There is a line of dialogue when she's first talking about this like passion burning inside her, the Wicked Witch, for this guy. Again, I don't know who he is. And there was like audible laughter at how bad the line was. Like my wife was like, oh, like she realized like, okay, that didn't land the way they thought it would. So, but they don't really like, I guess because they're trying to have it be an adult story that kids can still watch. So they don't actually lean into it. So you're like, all right, are they just friends? Or, I mean, friends who get naked, which Husey will tell you that happens sometimes. April 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas. But yeah, so, and I just feel like the characters are so different in this second one than the first one. And I get it. This is very gay. All right. So, you know, if review girl Megan was here and asked the question, yes, it's gay. I get it. All right. I saw a gay movie. What do you want to do? Scarlett Hampton wasn't in this one. So yeah, I would say don't see either Wicked's Husey, but Wizard of Oz is okay. You can check that out. That's all right. You
know? I'll see it.
Yeah.
And the big question is, what is your number one worst of 2025?
I'm shocked this made no one else's list. War of the Worlds starring Ice Cube is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Hands down. It was made during the pandemic. And boy, does it show. Because it's all people talking to each other on screens, little pop-ups and little videos. And there's very, very little action. And the whole movie is Ice Cube looking at the camera, damn it! And a lot of stuff like that. And he's like spying on his daughter. And, you know, I guess she's expecting and he's trying to be accepting of the
The spying on his daughter a Scarlett Hampton film?
Yes. You know what? Absolutely. I completely forgot.
Yeah, she stars in Horror of the Worlds.
Yeah, it was the follow up to My Stepdaughter is Tighter Than Her Mom, an actual Scarlett Hampton film. You could use this drum roll if you want, but I have a whole list of Scarlett Hampton movies. And I just could not. But there's like real actors in this too. I mean, Ice Cube has become a real actor. But it's like an Ice Cube vehicle. And this movie sat for a while. It's an Amazon Prime. So it's not even a Netflix movie. You can't lump it all together as like, oh, Netflix movies suck. Yes. Dabble Mersh. Is that actually? That's not Mersh.
No, it's not.
No, his no, that's something not else. War of the Worlds. Look, it does look like a special needs class project. If your special needs kid said, look, I made a movie. I'd be like, God bless you. You sure did, Aaron. You did a really good job with that special needs toe. I could not believe it. Who's seen this movie? It's not just me.
I didn't.
Oh my God.
You're the only lucky one.
But it's that level of bad that you have to see it to believe it.
Okay.
And you can do it from the comfort of your own home. Although, Husey, I don't know Amazon Prime overseas, so you might have to rent it. So maybe it's not worth it to you.
Yeah, I'm not spending any money on that. The sheer idea that Ice Cube plays a scientist.
He's basically like a computer security. He's definitely not a scientist. It's science fiction. It's not fantasy, if you know what I'm saying. But it's got Eva Longoria's in it. Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson from the Avengers. And then, okay, so those are really the only recognizable names. But still, I could not believe how far off the mark this was.
But it's Ice Cube, when he speaks now, it sounds like he's doing an impression of himself. He's like, hey, what's going on here? And
really spot on.
It's a rock solid Ice Cube. Yeah.
What's that? Like he should be in Yellowstone, which, not going to say it. I haven't seen War of the Worlds, and I'm very likely never going to watch it. It looks like a pile of shit. And let's be honest, while we're at it, the Spielberg one had a very good, first act, and then it went to shit.
Well, that's the shocking thing is that I didn't think you could possibly take that story and make it worse than that Tom Cruise one from, I think, 2004. But they sure did. And I don't know what they spent on it, but I feel like someone stole most of that money.
Yeah. Hey, Rob does. But anyway, we'll make fun of black people in the post show. I have everybody's social media links down below, even Lemmy's, especially Lemmy's. Who, by the way, Lemmy has been killing it on YouTube with her knitting streams. She's getting thousands of views. So hit the like button for me, and I will pass those likes over to Lemmy. I will Stuttering John likes for Lemmy. There you go. Keely, what have you got coming up that we should all be looking out for?
I am obviously movie reviews over on my channel, Once Over with Kaylee, CAYLEY. Lots of fun stuff coming out on my Patreon soon, which is also Once Over with Kaylee. You can see my fart box over there right now. I just did a video of me getting a tattoo on my butt removed. So you can go check that out. I will be doing the Tabber Susser dildo review over there soon. All the fun stuff. It's a fun time on the Patreon. Hackamania 3, obviously, hackamania.com, April 10th through the 12th. Promo code Kaylee or Bears.
Bears only if you want to see Eric Zane. That's the only advantage.
Oh, and I'm going to go to Atlantic City. A bunch of us WATP people are all going out to Atlantic City for the Super Bowl weekend, so we're going to go party it up with everybody. So.
Yeah, and don't forget that if you want a preview of Kaylee's arse, watch the Lucy Does Dabbleverse shows, because you see a hint of it in the opening credits. Not bad, Kaylee. I'll have to give you a smack at Hackamania, because I'm a man, and that's what we do.
I should assume that you didn't get the Taco Bell tattoo removed, though, Kaylee, right?
No, I love my Taco Bell tattoo. I would never remove that.
That would be sacrilege, so I'm glad to hear that. You can find me Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern, over on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel for Who Are These Broadcasters, which Kaylee was kind enough to be on this most recent episode, talking about one of her favorite subjects, Meghan Markle. And we appreciated her coming on over there. Hit the like button, subscribe over there. And that show also exists in audio podcast and my personal podcast, The Blackcast, BLADTCIST. These two have been on many times during the past year, and they don't know it yet, but they will be on many times this year as well. And 100 Songs That Define Heavy Metal is a show I produce, but I actually make money from it. It's hosted by Brian Slagle, the CEO of Metal Blade Records. So if you like metal or even just hard rock, and if you don't, you're obviously a loser. So you should get into metal, like I told Kaylee, our most recent episode, Cannibal Corpse. So hit the like button over there.
Well, if you like metal, we have changed the outro and we're going to go into a Shmuel Bachman-inspired Metallica song. So we're going to say a big wave goodbye to everybody. And hopefully in 2026, we get much better releases than Happy Gilmore 2. Okay, thank you, Christian. Thank you, Kaylee. And thank you, Lemmy. And thank you, everybody, for watching. For those that may or may not know, the last three episodes, this one, episode 255 and 254, were all recorded back-to-back. So I am tired. I am ready to go to bed. I am ready to sleep forever. But until then, I just want to thank you for watching. I want to remind everyone to go check out all the stuff online that you need to, such as my social media, at the Hughie on Twitter and Instagram, Hughie Entertainment on YouTube, and it is Hughie. Bye-bye.